Okay, our friends. So now that we have finished with Valentine's Day, the next big thing here in the United States is President's Day. Now, the presidents are the guys that run the country, and there's been quite a few of them, and they have done a very good job because the country is still here. It's still afloat. And we'll see if we can continue the trend of good presidents. But I tell you who some of the great ones were, right? Is the ones that started this country. They had their work cut out for them. They had a lot of work to do to make a country. George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, those are the guys that started us out. And I want to read to you about one of them because he was particularly very interesting to listen to his work. And this book, my friends, that I'm about to read to you has got some of the most amazing pictures you ever seen in your whole life. So you got to check it out. Today's book is called Thomas Jefferson's Battle for Science. And it has a subtitle, which says Bias, Truth, and A Mighty Moose. The story was written by Beth Anderson and it's drawn by Jeremy Holmes, and I cannot stress to you enough how much fun this book is to look at. It is also read today by Mommy and what is your name? Where are you from? What do we call you? His name is Peace and Quiet. You know, that's so interesting that you say that, because guess what Thomas Jefferson liked? Yeah. Peace and Quiet. Before we read it, there's some information here that says to us, young Thomas Jefferson measured his world, animals and plants and mountains and streams and weather and crops, and he recorded sizes and shapes and temperatures and times and distances and speeds, even his own. And collecting fossils and bones, he dreamed of massive mammoths and undiscovered creatures, and his heart swelled as the power and majesty of nature called him to question, experiment, and explore. Science was his supreme delight because it was certain, peaceful, and measurable. Or so he believed. And we can see some of the things that he looked at. A bear, a mammoth, a catfish, the Blue Ridge Mountains, a strawberry. Now, Thomas immersed himself in science. He marveled at details of animals in Count Georges-Louis Leclerc de Buffon's Encyclopedia of the natural world. And in the picture, we see him looking at it going, marvelous. But when he read what the French scientist wrote about America, Thomas's fury flared and the marvel melted away. In fact, it says here he was furious and he is red in the face and he's got smoke coming out of his ears. Now, Buffon declared, the new world was swampy and cold, with nothing as grand as the elephant or ferocious as the lion. He looks at that and says, hogwash! America teemed with grand moose and ferocious panthers. Buffon claimed bears were smaller, deer antlers shorter, and wolves downright puny. Absurd, he thought. Since when did bigger mean better? And when Buffon said American mammoths were extinct, his words threatened Thomas's dream of one day finding the largest of all terrestrial beings. Outrageous. Thomas had samples of teeth and bones. How could such a behemoth just disappear? Page after page, the royal scientist proclaimed America a terrible place, far worse than the old world of Europe and Asia. Poppycock, he says. Buffon's theory simmered inside Thomas. How did Buffon come up with this idea of an inferior America? Did he use faulty facts? Did he pick and choose evidence to fit his own beliefs? Did his love for Europe get in the way? Suddenly, science wasn't certain or peaceful. You know, when you believe something, like the country that you live in is amazing, and you read someone else who you think is a smart person say just the opposite, it can be kind of hard to think, well, now I wonder why they think that, right? And you might feel angry, but I think the answer is to get curious. So let's see what he does. The spirit of independence erupted, and the colonies went to war against England. And through years of turmoil, Thomas served his new nation in Congress and his state of Virginia as representative and governor. But he also found time to declare a war of his own against Buffon's idea. And fortunately, Thomas knew how to think like a scientist, and it was time to measure the truth. Time to fight for liberty, time to fight for the truth. And in both cases, we can see he's writing and writing and writing. He started his investigation with questions. Was Buffon confusing deer and moose, cougars and panthers? How did he determine that mammoths were extinct? One must see it to believe it, right? And his numbers looked like facts, but were they true? See, this guy says that the Earth is 74,832 years old. One question loomed larger than the rest. Where did the scientist get his information if he had never been to America? Thomas looked closer. Buffon had relied on the notes of travelers. Did they measure or weigh the animals, Thomas asked, or mistake the species? He looks at this guy here, Peter Kalm has written, and he says, in 1748, bears are very numerous higher up in the country and do much mischief. Mr. Bartram told me that when a bear catches a cow, he kills her in the following manner. He bites a hole into her hide and blows with all of his power into it until the animal swells excessively and dies. Like blowing up a balloon? This is nonsense. If he could prove the numbers were wrong, Buffon's whole theory would fall apart. So Thomas devised a plan. He created a list of four-legged animals from Europe and America, focusing on big. And he organized the quadrupeds, which means what? What is a quadruped?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Ped means feet. Quad means four.
Oh, four legs.
That's right, the four-legged animals from largest to smallest, and then he sent a dispatch to friends from north to south, and it says, the heaviest weighs of our animals, from the mouse to the mammoth. Now, as the war for independence ended, Thomas's war on faulty facts continued. He verified data, analyzed numbers and drew conclusions, even without the weight of a mammoth. He had enough evidence to prove Buffon wrong. So, the notes on the state of Virginia, and to prove it, he would with his own book. The book came along. Thomas's thoughts boomed as his pen marched across the page. See, he did his very first science book about America. As Thomas finished his book, Congress assigned him minister to France to negotiate trade and treaties and settle disputes. And there was one dispute he couldn't wait to settle. He packed his manuscript and loaded his trunks. Huzzah! Passing through Philadelphia, he purchased an enormous panther pelt to convince Monsieur Buffon of his mistake. And he grabs that pelt, which, by the way, means
skin.
Yeah, the skin of the panther.
Dead body.
Yeah. Now, while Thomas tended to business in Paris, he waited to meet Buffon. 1 month, 5 months, 10 months passed. Thomas had his book printed and sent a copy off to Buffon. More months passed. Thomas sent the panther skin. And finally, a letter arrived inviting Thomas to dinner and thanking him for the cougar skin. Ugh, cougar skin? That's not what that is at all.
The panther skin.
Yeah, what would it take to convince Buffon of his errors? Thomas summoned his courage and the battle began. Questions probed ideas. Facts countered opinions. Evidence challenged assumptions. Now, Buffon couldn't escape his mistake with the panther. And Thomas pressed on. Yes, American deer are larger. Ha! Moose are not deer, and the European reindeer could walk under the belly of our moose. Buffon demanded proof in the name of science, and Thomas vowed to get it. Moose are really big, aren't they? He needed a moose, a gigantic moose. But capturing a live moose and shipping it across the ocean would be nearly impossible. Thomas fired off letters to his friends in the northern states, pleading for a specimen of a magnificent moose. After a year and a half, he had all but given up when a gigantic bill arrived for the pursuit, preparation, and transport of a moose. But where was the moose? Oh dear. Soon more letters came. Thomas cringed as he read of a very troublesome affair involving 20 men hauling a 7-foot-tall animal for 14 days through deep snow and 20 miles of forest. But where was the moose? Well, a few days later, a colossal box arrived with a monstrous stench. Thomas peered at the moose. Not magnificent, but big. He sent it off with apologies for the moose's hair and mismatched antlers. Egads, it was very dead, wasn't it? Yeah. Buffon's response came with a promise to revise his book. Huzzah, he says, but when Thomas received news of the royal scientist's death a few months later, he feared Buffon's faulty facts would never be corrected. Oh, goodness gracious, he says, and he does not look happy. Now, Thomas returned home and continued his fight for science, but this time he wasn't alone. His book had found its way into the hands of the young and the old. And guess what? He gets a letter from a man named John Stuart. What's on my desk? A giant claw? How delightful. Oh, but friends, when we look at the claw, the letter goes on. I won't read the whole thing. But we can see that this claw does not look like a lion's claw to me. Does it look like one to you?
Mm-mm. I think it's a saber.
You think it's something else? Yeah. Year after year, facts and discoveries piled up, but no mammoths. The massive beast was indeed extinct. But that single drop of disappointment didn't dampen Thomas's unspeakable joy in science. And guess what, friends? In time, new truths overshadowed Buffon's biased ideas. The land that Thomas loved wasn't a terrible, unhealthy place. It wasn't better or worse than the old world. It just measurably different.
Wait, go up. Bald eagle?
Yeah. And we can see some of the animals that he was measuring. The bald eagle was 7 to 15 pounds. But it just goes to show you, although we are different,
there's always new types of things being figured out there.
Yep. And in the book, that gives you some more facts and things that you can look at. And it's very interesting, isn't it? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad that we don't have to cart around mooses anymore. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could just take a tank and a giant truck out there and get a moose.
You really could.
Yeah, you could use a plane and ship it off to another country.
That's true.
Or you could have a guy with a trank dart come in and trank the moose and then get another truck in there and get the moose on the truck and ship it.
Yep. Well, friends, you have to check this book out in its entirety and read all the details because we're not going to do all of that in this go. But we do want to encourage you to go and grab it. And for now, this is...
The End.
The End.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.